you been?
Good. How are you all?
Good. It's a wacky time. It's a every year at the beginning of the legislative session, it's a little bit nuts anyway, and it happens to coincide with the application submissions. So I just get like too many details in my head, and I kind of forget what I'm doing. But I feel like we got a lot of stuff. We did a lot of stuff right, with a few mistakes. So far, so good. We'll see. Hi, Stephanie.
Oh, there she is.
Hi.
I wish that I could count on the mail, but we're making extras for folks. If you all don't mind signing in, that is super helpful to us to make sure we've got it correct.
I was saying how much it puts on Brooklyn's issue.
Oh, I miss Brooklyn's even with mice and toads and bugs. I do.
Just nostalgia.
This is beautiful and everything, but
the emails that have gone in about like someone touring this property to essentially purchase this and not say anything about the building. And I think I said this in the bus. I thought I told, and, like, I was trying to replay conversations. I'm like, I think I told someone to do this.
Oh, well,
oh my God.
It's absolutely not everyone's cup of tea, and it's probably haunted, right? At least the parking lot is haunted. You know, underneath the parking lot, there are people.
There's a lot of lore.
Is it
which parking lot?
Because
no, I know.
Like
I
can
go there. I park in a different lot.
Yeah. I think it's the south.
And I still walk in a square to
on the south side of the building. I think
no,
it's
I've also heard that. It's true, right?
Yeah. I mean, this was when poor people lived in institutions and there was no money to bury them.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Got buried in places. So I don't know. Like that kind of didn't bother me. Like the vibe didn't bother me, even if it was on it and it had nice clothes and impact. You don't have to.
Okay.
This is something that we've included it in case that helps people feel welcome to give input. But you are here anyway for a whole agenda. So you give input, you can
like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I mean, it's if they're gonna take it down, I need to pull that bed. Hi, Lane, how are you? I need to go upstairs. I'm gonna hit record on this too, because I have to go upstairs and get that battery attachment, put it on my desk in case they come to take the ring away. I told them I don't really want a camera. For the sake of the rare visitors who might want privacy, we just need to go. We don't even need.
Recording in progress.
Job of maintaining.
She did.
Wow, impressive.
It's like right outside of the suburb.
She didn't let things get to her the way I do.
That's how you get to 95, right?
She just rolled over this. That baby.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, I don't know if the carriers are on vacation, so they alternate. I don't know. Yes, that's the other thing. Yeah, shortage.
Still describe myself as.
Yes.
Longer than I lived anywhere other than my hometown. Like, I went out to college and then I lived in, you know, another little town. But never 6 years. You know.
Yeah.
Put down roots.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, intentionally.
Well, and again, you know, thank you. Printer ink and paper and my last year.
I've had this 2 years.
The pockets?
Yeah.
It's like the no good news.
Some people's name tags are not caps and a lot of clothes from the game.
I have no idea why it's like.
I did not realize I was using scissors to cut them out. I'm like, I should have seen it.
I think it's up to trophy time. They just kind of do whatever they feel like.
Yeah,
they charge us $10. Because
used to, it was like,
a good price.
I'm always very envious. They're so easy.
But when I found the first one, I was like, oh, it's gotta be not just I had the intuition. James is in all
that's where it that's where I have been doing this on too.
This is me. That's amazing. I don't know. You know what? These are you two are more recent. Not very much. Not by much. There's also like a very strange selection of treats.
Ooh.
And there's special drinks inside the cooler too. It's there's like nothing, there's no coherent plan regarding snacks or beverages.
I
mean, that's.
Let me go see.
Everybody else is getting in.
Yeah.
Right. So you didn't. No one else had a trouble with that.
No. I wonder if they're pressing maybe the button.
Okay.
not when it was 60 the other day? Everyone, I'm sure, is like a bunch of sit down, listen to
it. We will be starting momentarily. Slight technical delay. Well, we will now go ahead and call this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board to order. It is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026 at 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
Alejandro Gomez.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez. Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. All right, we do have a quorum, so we can move on to our next item, which is the agenda. This is on page one of your packet. Is there any discussion about the agenda, or would anyone like to make a motion?
I move we accept the agenda.
I'll second that.
All right. Palencia motions, Sprandel seconds. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the 2026 meeting schedules and the PY27 allocation timeline. These are on pages 3 through 8 of your packet. No action is needed, but Lynn, if there's any updates on these that you would like to share, there are no updates. Any questions, discussion from the board on this? Pretty straightforward since we recently approved it. So seeing none, we will next move to CCMHB acronyms and glossary. These are on pages 9 through 20 of the packet. No action is needed, but Lynn, any updates?
The whole document, we kind of redid it to make it accessible. Yay.
Which will be a theme for other materials. So I just want to give a applause to the staff for working so diligently on the accessibility of the materials. Especially Leon, since Linda's pointing at Leon. Any discussion from the board about the acronyms and glossary? All right, seeing none, we will next move on to public participation and agency input. As always, members of the public are welcome to speak to the Mental Health Board and share their thoughts with us. We cannot respond directly to public input, but we may use it to inform future actions. So there will be 2 points of time in the meeting when public input can be given, right now and then closer to the end. And if you would like to make public comments, you can either approach the podium. There are also comment cards you can fill out. And if you're on Zoom, then you can put something in the chat box or you can raise your hand. For anybody who is making public comment, especially agency representatives, please be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the act. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes for each portion of public input. Given all of that, is there anyone who would like to make public comment right now?
Hello, I'm Haley Wright. I'm with CLA, but contractual CFO for Courage Connection. And we are requesting a consideration for late funding submission for the FY27 funding application. This submission was completed prior to the deadline, but still was being entered into the portal during the cutoff time. But everything was completed, and it was just getting it into the portal by the deadline. So we were unable to have everything entered and submitted in the portal by the 4:30 p.m. cutoff. And I think we have more from Courage Connection.
Thank you.
Good evening, distinguished board members. My name is Matthew Fletcher. I am the interim executive director at Courage Connection. I've had the great honor of holding this position for the last 7 months, and I call it an honor because Courage Connection is a very important agency in this community. Not only are we the oldest domestic violence shelter in the state of Illinois, but as it stands, we are the only comprehensive domestic violence prevention agency that serves Champaign County. With domestic violence being one of the top public health issues that is affecting our community, it is absolutely essential for our agency to be able to provide free trauma-informed domestic violence counseling services to survivors in our community. Now, Courage Connection is incredibly fortunate to have the expertise of Clifton Larson Allen as our consulting CFO. We are very grateful to have and be able to afford a CPA like Haley Wright so that we can instill accounting best practices and ensure fiscal responsibility. As the interim executive director, I am responsible for the management of all operations at Courage Connection. Our failure to submit the financial portion of the fiscal year 27 grant application falls solely upon me. I intend on taking full ownership and responsibility of that failure. And to ensure that this never happens again, I am implementing the following mandatory structure moving forward immediately. At 2 weeks until any grant deadline, we will be having a mandatory meeting between the interim executive director, our consulting CFO, and our director of grants. We will be having another meeting between the three of us at 1 week, and then another one with 3 days to go before the submission deadline. We will ensure that all applications are submitted at least 24 hours ahead of every deadline. This structure, this interim structure, is only going to last until March 24th, when Courage Connection welcomes our new executive director. And it gives me immense pleasure to introduce Courage Connection's next executive director, Ms. Katie Harmon.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to briefly introduce myself. I'm thrilled to be starting as Courage Connection's next executive director on March 23rd. For those who aren't familiar with my background, I've worked here in Champaign County in the areas of homeless services and domestic violence services for the last 16 years. I've worked closely managing local, state, and federal grants, including grants from the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board. And I'm very confident in the plan that Courage Connection, under Matthew's leadership as the interim, is putting in place. And really just want to reiterate the essential services that they offer, in particular DV counseling services offered by trained domestic violence staff, free and accessible and confidential, is essential in Champaign County. And again, just want to reiterate I'm really confident about the plans that they're putting in place. I'm looking forward to working with the staff there. They have an incredible team, dedicated team, providing really good services and needed services in our community. So I will be stepping into that role on March 23rd, and I sincerely appreciate the board's hearing our comment and offering, hopefully, grace in this leadership transition. As many of you know, going through a leadership position, particularly the executive director position, and being without a permanent executive director for an extended period of time is difficult for any organization. So I just sincerely appreciate your consideration of this request. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. As noted earlier, we cannot just respond directly during public input, but there is going to be an item on the agenda to discuss this later. Is there anyone else in person or online who would like to make public comment? All right, seeing none, we will move on next to chairperson's comments. So hi, I'm Molly McClay. I am the current chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, and I welcome you all here this evening. We have, you know, a variety of items to discuss tonight, including the item that was just mentioned in public comment. We will also be taking our first preview at the applications that we did receive for PY 2027 funding. We will not be reviewing them tonight, but we can talk a little bit about what our typical processes have been for that. And this is just an opportunity to take a peek at, you know, what we have received. And I know that there is an addendum with some updated information about this specific item, which you may have received in materials here or via email to board members. It's also posted online. One thing I wanted to note, going into this coming funding cycle, you know, we will be reviewing applications potentially beginning next month, but typically within April, the board conducts a formal review during our meeting and study session, and then we do make allocation decisions in May. This year, I think many of us knew going into this funding cycle that it was going to be a bit different given the federal landscape for mental health and substance use services. And while we were extremely happy to see many, many applications, including from returning programs and some new programs as well, one thing to note is that we do have a very large difference in the amount requested of us for funding and the amount we are likely to have available. And that amount is close to about $2 million difference. Which is a bigger amount of difference than I have seen in my entire tenure on the board for the last 4 years. So I think it is going to be, you know, a very difficult and very competitive funding process this year. But it is also very exciting to see so many programs come to us, you know, wanting to grow, wanting to get funding for the first time. And I am looking forward to the next several months where we will be discussing that. I think that is all of my comments for now, but there will be other points in time when I'll make comments too. So that concludes my comments, and we will next move to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
Hi. So you have very few actions requested tonight, but one of them is may possibly going to take some time to figure out. So I don't want to spend too much time making comments on comments I've already made in the board packet. But I will talk more as we get to some of those items. I think there are 8 new applications to the Mental Health Board and then some expansions on those, so that we wouldn't consider those new applications, but there are 9 new ones. And then there's on the DD side, there's only 1 new one, but some also expansions. So we look at expansions as new applications you know, with a similar level of detail. And so we kind of jumped right in to reviewing applications. There's a lot going on the staff team since we put this board packet together. So I'm confident that we're going to be able to bring you those reviews and the timeline that we promised. It could be a lot for y'all to look at, but we'll get there when we get there. We're trying to get background documents this week so that we understand if agencies are fully eligible or if there are any problems with the newer organizations who've applied. The other thing that complicates it is at the beginning of every legislative season, like, we're really involved in paying attention to state and federal legislative and policy changes. And in an election year, not a lot happens. It kind of, you know, there might be bills about local government consolidation, and we are absolutely going to be paying attention to things like that, but not a lot of really substantive legislation is introduced, and so I count on having a slow time. Well, that's not even true this year. So here we are. I'm, like, really grateful that we got a good head start on looking at these funding requests, but now I'm going to shift my attention for the next couple weeks to what's going on at the state and federal legislative and policy levels and try to represent Champaign County as well as I can. So if you have suggestions for me, please feel free to reach out. Anyway, I think that's enough. I'm ready to... Oh, and yes, much applause to Leon and other staff members for really accelerating our efforts to make our documents ADA compliant. Like, it is not easy, and some of what we've learned is that we're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning with some documents that we've counted on for a long time. Some of the templates have to be redone, but we're doing it, and everybody's, like, you know, being very successful with it so far. So I'm really happy about us. And right? Okay, that's enough.
Thank you very, very much. All right, we will next move on to approval of CCMHB board meeting minutes. These are on pages 21 through 28 of the packet. Action is requested to approve minutes of the CCMHB January 21st, 2026 meeting and January 28th, 2026 study session. I do want to note that there has been one edit that needs to be made that was noted in advance of the meeting, which is that Alejandro Gomez was absent from January 21st meeting and was excused. So we do need to make that edit. For the board, any other discussion of other edits to make? All right, seeing none, I will move to approve the minutes of the CCMHB January 21st, 2026 meeting and January 28th, 2026 study session as amended.
Second.
All right, McClay moves, Joachim seconds. Any final discussion? Seeing none, the motion has been clearly stated. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved as amended. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists. These are on pages 29 through 32 of the packet. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. Any discussion? Or would anyone like to make a motion?
The very first item, I just didn't know what it was. On page 29, Community Life Short-Term Assistance. What is that?
This is the only contract that's supported through the IDD Special Initiatives Fund. Was a two-year contract that you and the DD board both approved a long time ago. And so you'll see it through June, and then we don't have a particular plan yet for what to do with the Special Initiatives Fund. But yeah, it's difficult to know that because the vendor is the Champaign County Treasurer, which is always a little confusing. But
yeah, that did confuse me. Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion? I just wanted to refresh my memory. This formatting is slightly different than before. Yes, I understand this is one of the items that had to be... a lot of effort was put into for accessibility purposes. So just Wanted to note that.
This is connected to a really big issue, that it's an issue the county is also dealing with. Like, so many software platforms that we all use in local government are, you know, create documents that you can't post because they're not accessible and they can't even be made accessible, but they also aren't internally ADA compliant. So the county's going to have to rebid this whole thing unless this organization can start providing documents like this that are fully compliant. So Chris Wilson and I basically are doing these by hand for a while, which he's really good about making zero errors. So I'm glad he's helping me.
So in regards to making these ADA compliant, is that something that the county has chosen to do? Is this a state level or a federal level like rule?
This is a federal law that goes into effect in April, and everything that's posted online, even if it's needed as background information from a prior meeting or report, has to be fully ADA compliant. So it's a very big challenge. We've figured it out this far. I know it's not very attractive, but a screen reader will be able to understand it. So that's part of what you have to do. So we're ready to help others in the county if they need help with this. But basically, they're going to need to work with the vendor. Everybody in the country is having to work with vendors. This is all government, state, local, and federal, all have to be in compliance with this law, and it's kind of big. So.
Well, and it really puts some of the burden now on the vendors, because if you can't supply us what we legally have to do, we can no longer do business with you. Now, as far as anything prior to April 1, yeah. You know, we probably do have to fix ourselves.
There's a lot to it. We've got some trainings, one last month and one actually next week, that are going to be available to everyone about what the new rules mean and how to get there. So,
well, sorry to sidetrack us, but I thought it was important since we're all about, you know, advocacy and making things, you know, accessible, that I kind of wanted to know a little more about it. So thank you.
Any other discussion? Or would anyone like to make a motion?
I move to approve the vendor list.
And I have a second.
I will second that.
All right. Patterson motions, Brandel seconds. Any final discussion? All right, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted. So next we will move to old business. The first item is agency updates. Oral updates will be provided on GCAP's and Uniting Pride's progress with PY25 financial reviews. No action is needed, but I will turn it over to Lynn, who may designate representatives from agencies to give updates as well if she's not giving them.
The director of Uniting Pride is here, so if it's okay for us to go in reverse alphabetical order, might be good to let Josh speak. Is that okay? And then I'll represent the other one.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much. I'm Joshua Gavel. I'm the interim executive director at Uniting Pride. We have some great news. The financial review is done. We have voted on it. And we are just waiting on the final draft to be sent from APRIO. We expect that to come in the next couple days. And as soon as we have it, you will have it. Thank you so much for extending us this time and this grace. This was obviously a very unexpected road bump, but we are happy to be on the other side of it, and we should have the required documents to you within the next couple days. So thank you again, and we are all good to go.
Thank you so much for that update. And my understanding is, you know, once we receive it, then the staff will work with Uniting Pride to, you know, work out any issues. And then, you know, the payment suspension had been waived for January and February, but I assume that everything will be good to go to, you know, resume this payments for March. So that is great to hear. Board, any board members want to make comment on this before we hear the next update? I'll just add very, very grateful for your diligence and staying on top of this, because it was definitely a really unexpected situation. And, you know, thank you for working so diligently and quickly to get it resolved. So we can next have Lynn share other updates.
The executive director of GCAP shared news that's quite similar. They have also a financial review coming. It's pending. There are some documents which require their board member signatures, and their board members have been on vacation. So the thought is end of this week, which is like fantastic. And we are all caught up. The staff and consultant reviews of every submitted audit and financial review are finished. So we're ready to take these on whenever they come. It shouldn't take us very long. But at any rate, the payments can be released for March. Yay! So.
Any discussion from board on this? I can just add, I'm equally glad to hear that a similar progress has been made. And I think, you know, we had a lot of deliberation at the last meeting about, you know, do we waive payment suspension through March? Do we waive it, you know, month to month? Do we not waive it at all? And I think that our decision to waive it for January and February and hear from the agencies this month has really worked out in everyone's favor, because things, you know, moved very quickly, and we don't even have to have this discussion again in March to determine if we need to waive anything after that. So kudos to all of us for making a good decision, I think. Anyone else want to share comments on this? Lynn, anything else from you? All right. Well, we can next move to the next item of old business, which is agency request for special consideration. So this item is on pages 33 through 38 of the packet. It is pertaining to the comments that Courage Connection made earlier. A decision memorandum presents context for a request to reopen the application system. Courage Connection's request is attached, and our action is requested. And for the point in time at which we will vote, the possible motions are on page 36 of the packet. So I'm going to, you know, we have heard a lot from the agency about what happened and why this happened and what steps may happen in the future to prevent it. We definitely will have the opportunity to ask the agency questions if we would like to. I would like to start by having Lynn give some background on the situation and the perspective of, you know, kind of what happened on the staff side of things when this occurred, as well as like why we have to, if we are going to take any action, why we have to take it in the way that we are with reopening the application.
Well, that's my strong suggestion, that because all of the documents that we make public and that the board approves say there's no consideration of late applications, I think you don't frame it as consideration of a late application. If you want to create the opportunity, the other way to create the opportunity is to have a fully open public application opportunity. You've done that before. I think there was one year that we had it open for a week, and then there was one year that we had it open for one day. And so that would be, I would think, if they were, the agency says that they were done and just needed to upload from Excel. What we can see on our side is all four of the financial documents need to be filled in, and one of them has text. So I'm not sure it's as easy as simply uploading from Excel, because it's a more of a copy paste into every section, but maybe they can do it very quickly. But then there's a final form that the director needs to submit which authorizes the whole application. So all of those remain to be done. I can't guess how long it would take. It just, it looked like five incomplete forms from our end. So this was, the agency contacted Leon after 4:30. So maybe I should ask Leon, but this memo gives you as much background. There's also, Molly McClay is encouraging me to put little outlines at the top of the memos so that those of you who've done this for a long time can skip to sections with news, because a lot of it is just giving you as much background as possible, and the other audience is the public. So to create that background for the public is also important to me. So, you know, you can see what we've done before, what we've done in response to having the problem at all, like how we've changed our practices, and then what the board has chosen to do each time an exception was requested and why the exception was requested. So that is all in there. And then it goes, I think the most useful part for y'all is possible actions, just so you're not crafting a motion out of the blue. But would you want to hear from Leon, since he was the contact on it?
If Leon would like to speak, he can. If he does not wish to, that is okay.
I mean, I think everything has been is in a packet. I received an email from Haley, I think approximately at 4:34, and I felt awful about it because the deadline was 4:30. You know, and it's a hard deadline. We were unable to open up the system at that point in time, and so I just had that conversation with Lynn, and here we are. And so the special consideration is included in the board packet for you to take a look at, and it identifies what the situation was. So.
All right. Thank you both very, very much. And just, yeah, to clarify, like, we, the rules are that, you know, late applications cannot be accepted. So in order to make any kind of special consideration request, it has to come to the board directly. And it seems that the, you know, if we were to make any kind of consideration, it would need to be essentially creating another notice of funding availability for a specific designated point in time, and to reopen the system for a certain amount of time, which would permit anyone to apply, including Courage Connection. But that is what has been done in the past when we have given special consideration, and it's what is, you know, we could take other options, but this seems to be the most fair if we were going to do that. I wanted to start with a couple comments, and then I want to open it up to board members to discuss. And of course, if there are questions for the agency, we can make that. This is incredibly difficult. I have worked in domestic violence services myself in this community for a long time, or gender-based violence services more broadly. So I have a lot. I have prior interactions with Courage Connection, and I know the great work that they do. I have serious reservations about approving this request. We have had times when there has been a very extenuating circumstances, such as a gas leak in the building, COVID, things like that, where we have made consideration and reopened the application system. But for me, not having all the forms filled out in advance of the deadline is not an excuse that I feel is extenuating enough to grant a special consideration. That concerns me because these services are incredibly important. All the services we fund are incredibly important. I do know that our funding makes up a small percentage of Courage Connection's overall budget. It's about 4% per the reports we received at the last meeting or the meeting before that, which makes me feel less nervous about the possibility that survivors would go without services. And yeah, as somebody who cares deeply about this issue, it pains me greatly to say that I would not recommend that we make this consideration. However, this is not just one person. This is all eight of us. So I would like to open it up to board members to make comments and move toward making a decision.
Well, if you read the other scenarios that have happened in the past, one of the decisions had to do with putting, if we opened it up again, would be putting that late application at the end of the decision making. And we don't have enough money to fund everything, so that puts it in another kind of jeopardy, but it's still in the mix. So that's a kind of middle place, not a yes and not a no, but some consequence for having not made the deadline. So
thank you. I guess I will respond by saying I am concerned about the large amount of difference between what we've already received from agencies that did turn in applications on time and how much we are likely to have available, even if we are sort of possible projections are off. The idea that they could be off by $2 million is just not really feasible. So we are going to have to make some incredibly tough decisions this year. And it feels very difficult to me to sort of include those who did not get it in on time in competition with the same money for people who did, agencies who did get it in on time.
14 agencies are asking for an increase, you know, on what they've already gotten. So that's huge, too.
Any other comments?
Well, I do have a couple of questions. A couple of these have kind of been answered already this evening. So one of my questions is, did Courage Connection reach out prior in the week to anyone on our staff saying, hey, we potentially may not have this in. We haven't heard from our CFO. Okay. And so with that said, I kind of hate these meetings because I feel like I'm somewhat wishy-washy. Because on one hand, I'm the person who is like, why have deadlines if we're not going to follow them? And why do we print it on every form and blah, 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 blah? And why do we discuss this at every meeting? But Matthew did something tonight that made me, I guess, become putty maybe. The fact that he has a plan, that this won't happen again. And I am so impressed by that. But with that said, see here, I go back on the wishy-wash. We had so many other applicants already get it in on time. We're going to probably be at a, not probably, we are at a deficit. There is cost involved if we repost this. There's time involved with this if we repost it and open it up. And there is the opportunity, if we open it even one day, that some other agency might be like, let's go for it. And then what happens if we have Courage Connection, which we have funded in the past, we believe in them, da, 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 and someone else who we believe in and we like, and there's a great need. Then are we going to, like, pit those two together? I mean, it's just, you know, and Molly and I had emailed a tad bit over the weekend. And again, you know, she has been, you know, in the trenches with domestic violence. So it's not like, oh, we don't believe in it. It's just where do you draw the line on some of this? And I'm really struggling. So I guess I really am asking, you know, my fellow board members, give me some other thoughts. Give me some avenues that I'm maybe not looking at, because I don't want to be like, here's the line in the sand, when I do see there's a plan in action and things happen. And like Lynn pointed out, she doesn't know how long it will take to upload this information and da da da. You know, is one day enough to get it done?
I did want to respond directly to something you said, which is that, and I'll just clarify with Lynn that I have this correct, but we have had, at times when we reopened the application system in the past, we have had other agencies apply besides the ones that asked us for the special consideration, just once.
That was when we had it open for a week. We had one other applicant.
And I think, yeah, we can't really see this as extending a deadline, rather as we are creating another application. We're creating another notice of funding availability and having the system available for more applications is how I think is a fair way to look at it. Other comments?
So I guess a few things, just kind of going through different thoughts. we have a lot of new applications this year, and like if you total it, it's just under 1.5 million. Three agencies have asked for considerable increases in their applications and funding, and that's another 320,000+. So it's about 1.8 million in big increases in three programs and new funding. So that 2 million is because of those main issues more than anything. The other thing is, in the past, we have had an abundance of funding, and we, you know, wanted to make the biggest impact with that, with those resources. And so agencies had the luck that we wanted to make sure that they got funded because we had the resources. If we didn't fund them, that money a lot of times would not be used. And would go back to taxpayers or go back to the general fund or however that works. But we're not in that situation anymore. Earlier in the past, in 2021, 2022, 2023, there were heavy turnover and difficulties in people having enough staff for agencies, hiring people. So there was more leniency. Another one was in 2022 with Promise Healthcare having big changes in their leadership and trying to right their ship. And that was a large amount of funding. And we had funding for those. And we really wanted to make sure we funded, a nonprofit medical clinic and dental clinic in this area that provides essential services to low-income, residents. This year is going to be different. You know, we have a lot of agencies asking for funding. We do not have enough resources to fund everybody. We have a vastly, shortfall of funding compared to the amount of applications. I don't know how we're going to end up funding, because I know in the past we just kind of funded things that we've already funded in the past, in the previous years, and I don't know if that's the right answer anymore, because we have so many new applications. It's going to be more of, we might not fund things we funded for many years and might fund new programs. If we allow them to open the application process and have them apply and maybe someone else applies, we won't have a summary of their application by the time we're looking at, we could do it with all these new applications. That's going to burn out staff, I feel like. Yeah, it's not easy. I know it's not easy.
Because my hope, if you do choose to do this, would be to do it as soon as possible, which would be March 16th. Mm-hmm. And then if that happens, we can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's not easy. But
I mean, if we end up doing that, that's a big if. Like Jane said, I would be considering them farther down on the list of agencies to approve application, the funding application for, because of it, them being late and, other agencies doing the due diligence, getting things done on time, showing that they have that track record of getting things done in a timely manner. I would probably fund other agencies first. And I know it's only 4%, but it is, domestic violence. So I feel very conflicted about what to do in this situation. But I would probably not approve to reopen the application at this time. I hate saying that. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts about it. If we opened up the system and allowed them to complete the application and turn it in, then, I would want it to go probably to the bottom of the pile too. because everyone else got it in before them, and I think it's inevitable that we'd probably deny them in that case because of so many applications that we've turned in. And I think that giving them the heads up right now could help them to go ahead and organize and have a plan for what they're going to do financially, rather than wait until May to deny them and then they may not have a plan. So I think it may work out best to deny now instead of in the future, which I think would be inevitable anyway. But definitely think that domestic violence is priority and I'd want to approve all of them, but we have to be selective given the funds that are there.
Thank you very much. I think that's a really important point about, you know, if we're going to have to make a difficult decision now versus later, is it better to make it now, not only for us, but also for the agency to be able to apply for other funding? Any other comments?
So I know that, I think, Molly, you had mentioned that we in the past have done like about 4% of their funding. Do we know about how much potentially, you know, you guys are requesting or anything like that potentially?
Can we hold that question? Because I saw Emily wanted to speak as well.
Thanks. I don't have an argument one way or another, but I just want to highlight that we don't make decisions in this body on a first-come, first-served basis. We might be given a list, but just because one is at the bottom of the list doesn't mean that's how staff analyzes it, right? It's the uniqueness of the population served and where they fit in our overall goals. So I just wanted to highlight that. I mean, I don't think that we're skipping. I don't think that the order is so important. It's who are we passing over and what needs are we not meeting. Is this a unique part of our portfolio?
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Kyle.
Looking at the memo, I think to me what it simply comes down to is it looks like in the past 5 years we've done this for six different agencies, and in my mind the precedent's been set that we do allow for this. Especially, I mean, I've been serving on the mental health board. There's a little gap in there, but basically since 2017, and I think that we funded Courage Connection every year. So this is, I mean, they're the only agency in town that's specifically focused on domestic violence. And I think that, you know, I think we should move forward with allowing to reopen the application process.
All right, thank you. Yeah, do you have a comment?
Yeah.
Okay, Lynn, go ahead.
I just want to apologize to you, John. If a lot of agencies submitted applications, we might have a hard time getting it caught up. But even if we can do all of the things that we do on the schedule we've promised, I don't know that that's going to be very easy for the board. So I apologize. Your point is well taken, that it might just take longer to finish some of these processes. We've been lucky in the last few years to keep on schedule, but anyway, that's up to you.
Just, I guess, remind me, did we, last year with funding, were we able to know if we would be able to, were we able to look at the other applications that had been submitted late at the time of making decisions for funding?
You didn't have any late applications last year. It was a different situation because it was a new rule about an audit being required. And so there were two agencies. We reviewed them a little bit different schedule from the others, but then you all reviewed them only after the audits came. So there was, but everything was fully funded in the end. I mean, not everything was fully funded, but the request that you opted to fund were fully funded. So,
I guess regarding the issue of precedent, I guess my take on the precedent is that in extenuating circumstances, we have made, we have granted special consideration and reopened the application system. I don't consider this to be in extenuating circumstances for them to have not completed it in time. I think that if we are considering it a precedent to grant special exceptions in all cases, then we should change our bylaws to simply allow it so that we do not have to belabor this point at meetings every year. I do think the past 2 years we did not have anyone ask to be to have their late application considered. We did in 2023. We had several. I think that if we continue to grant exceptions, we will continue to be asked for them. I think we will always be asked for exceptions, but I think we'll be asked for fewer if we don't. But I think it does come down to, like, is the precedent that we do this, or is the precedent that we do this in extenuating circumstances, and how do we define that? Jane, do you still want to ask your question?
I guess, out of curiosity, do you know about how much you are planning to request from the Mental Health Board?
If you can come forward to the podium and turn on the mic, then those online can hear and the recording can.
Yes, it's $176,000.
Thank you. I mean, I guess in some ways it might be a moot point, but I just, out of curiosity, I was wondering, especially when, you know, it's been pointed out we're 4% of your funding, you know, but all right, thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up? What percentage of the overall budget is that $176,000?
It's approximately 5% now.
Okay, thank you. While we have a representative up, are there any other questions from board members? All right, thank you very much. And if we do have other questions, we will definitely call a representative forward. I'm not detecting a consensus. I know there are some board members who have said they would probably not approve this request, and other board members who said that we should. Is there anybody who hasn't shared their thoughts who would like to, or anybody who's has a different perspective, maybe has changed their mind?
I just have a question. I need to consider this comprehensively. So when we do decide approvals, when we have a finalized list, are we able to know the percentage of that amount for that agency's budget? Okay.
So you have access to all of the applications. You might not yet, but the rest of the board does. And if you don't want to look at them online, we can print them for you or send you electronic copies. And all that information is in there. In the staff reviews, we're going to tell you the percentage of the total program revenue that this request is, not the total agency revenue. But I think for this agency, total program and total agency are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a detail that we can provide upon request, or that you can see.
Gotcha. So. Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that does help. I just need to think things through comprehensively. I think, you know, in terms of like the type of services that you pointed out, I think that's very crucial and important. The percentage of the agency's budget request coming forward, and I think everything is contextual, right? I think if we were to have late submissions, no contact, no nothing, then obviously, you know, I would probably lean on the side of not approving that, but since they did contact Leon, you know, at the midnight hour, so to speak, I think that adds a little bit of context for me in the sense that it was just, you know, barely late, and they were trying essentially to submit that through. So I just wanted to note that as well. So.
Add.
I appreciate that. I want to make a comment that is not necessary until you're making decisions about funding, but just a reminder that just because you don't fund it doesn't mean it doesn't exist in the community, because the state is actually responsible for some of the more intensive services that we all really count on, especially crisis services. And when the state is failing to fully fund crisis services, this is where the Mental Health Board money is very helpful. Like, you you really can fill in gaps like that. So I would say domestic violence and sexual violence are areas where the state has let us down before. So it's kind of, that's one of the reasons we write about the context in which your funding sits. And it won't be so relevant until April or May, but we just really need to pay attention to that. Like domestic violence funding, you know, we would think would be stable, and it is not, unfortunately, so.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be voting to reopen. I think, while I agree it would certainly simplify the decisions that we have, I'm going to vote to reopen very selfishly because it'll be you guys that have to make those decisions. But I understand that imposing the deadline does simplify that decision. But I think looking at holistically everything that has been suggested and the merits of what is being requested of this mental health board should be at the front of mind. It seems like the deadline would, I want to say asinine. I think that there are better arguments for and against when we look at the needs of our community, and I know that you all will meet that challenge when it comes. So again, I'll be voting to reopen.
Thank you.
I think Emily's point kind of just makes me think a little bit more about the decisions we're making, right? Like making sure, what services do we want to make sure we're providing or have in this community? Like you said, it's not a first come, first serve. For me, it's more of how is this a sign of, is the agency going to continue to thrive or are they going to continue to struggle, right? Since December 2019, I don't ever think we've had any issues with Courage Connection before. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like with late applications or audits or anything, we haven't had any, correct?
Yes, we have.
Oh, we have had issues?
Yes.
We don't right now? Okay.
We're having a great relationship these days, but it has been rocky. Yeah.
And I guess I'm just looking at all the applications and trying to see what other services are similar in other than races, which isn't like an overlap, obviously. Not sure how much more we're funding in this area. Even with the new applications, I don't see things that are covering these things. So at the end of the day, I don't know if I'm going to vote to approve the funding. I do worry about burnout for our staff. Because we have great staff, and I don't want to lose any of our great staff for all the work that they've done over the years. So I still don't know how I'm going to decide or to vote. I know I can kind of guess who's probably for reopening in and who's more of a hard no, and I think there's some undecided as well, but I'm not sure.
I did want to share a little bit of information that I know, which is races provides similar but not the same services because there's a relationship with state coalitions around sexual assault and domestic violence, and certain agencies are contracted to provide those specific services. And while there's occasionally overlap, it's like a very clear delineation between those two coalitions and thus between races and Courage Connection on who provides domestic violence, who provides sexual assault. Even right down to the forms of orders of protection and no contact orders in the courthouse are delineated by this type of order is done by races, this type of order is done by Courage Connection. While other services in the community may have some overlap with domestic violence, they are the dedicated domestic violence service provider. I think I'm still planning to vote to not approve. If we comprised a much larger portion of their budget, I would be much more concerned. But since we are only 5%, I do think that I suspect the funding will remain stable. Maybe that is a risk for me to to suspect, but that's a big consideration for me is, you know, what percentage of their budget overall are we? And as Tony said, if we decide to, you know, not move forward with this now, does that give them the opportunity to fill that gap through another funding source?
I think it's a good point, Emily, that you make. It's a very difficult decision to make. So we don't know as far as what other organizations offer domestic violence programming. It sounds like not too many other programs that we fund. So, I mean, I think that's an important point to make. If we chose to let them, you know, put in the application, it would still come down to, you know, funding in May and could still possibly decide to deny them at that point because of that. I think it's a challenging decision for sure either way.
Well, when I came in here tonight, I had a plan, and I haven't been touched by domestic violence, but you know, I'm really emotional right now about this, and I'm leaning more towards approving us opening it up again. Yes, there's the chance that we're going to have more applicants. Yes, there's a little bit more work for our staff. There's some cost to repost it. I mean, things like that. And I like what John said, just because we open it up is not a promise that we will grant any funding. But I think, yes, there's other organizations that touch on domestic violence, but this is the main one. When people are in a domestic violence situation, this is where we refer them. This is the name they know. We are not their main provider. So again, yes, they would like our estimated $176,000, but if in the end we say no, they're not going to close down. And I feel like it gives them an opportunity to maybe get a piece of that if possible, but it also kind of gives them an opportunity, okay, hey, we need to find a fundraiser. We need to find something to maybe make up some ground because we may get all of that, none of it, or a little bit in the middle. So, I would be willing to make a motion unless someone else has any other comments.
I, as chair, am detecting a consensus to approve the request, so I will go ahead and make that motion. So I do move to approve the request from Courage Connection for additional time. Well, okay, let me back up. If we do this motion to approve and we vote yes, then we do need to make a second motion. I can...
If you want.
We can... The second motion is to allow CCMHB staff additional time to review, which I think that we should do. So actually, I do not plan to vote yes on this, though, so it probably doesn't make sense for me to make the motion. So I can make the second motion we vote yes, if the consensus is yes, though. So, Jane, do you want to go ahead and make it?
All right. I will make a motion to approve the request from Courage Connection for additional time to complete a PY 2027 funding request by authorizing CCMHB staff to publish a second PY 2027 notification of funding availability at least 21 days in advance of another open application period.
Second, Rodriguez.
All right, Sprandl moves, Rodriguez seconds. Any final discussion? All right, the motion has been clearly stated. May we have a roll call?
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Alejandro Gomez.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Elaine Plencia.
Yes.
James Frandl.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
No. We still need Emily Rodriguez.
Oh, sorry. Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
All right. The ayes have it. The motion passes. I will make that second motion to allow CCMHB staff additional time to review any PY 2027 funding requests submitted during the second open period and to develop related summaries and allocation scenarios with both activities along a timeline different from that posted in allocation process documents.
Second.
All right, McClay moves, Palencia seconds. Any final discussion on this? Including, does anyone need further explanation about this motion? Seeing none, the motion has been clearly stated. May we have a roll call?
James Frandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Alejandro Gomez.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
On this one, I vote yes. Because I want the staff to have more time. All right. With that, the motion passes. So we can now move on, after this very laborious discussion, to new business, where we do not have anything to vote on. So the next item for new business is review of applications for PY 2027 funding. These are on pages 39 through 44. For information only, the packet includes a briefing memorandum on the process for reviewing funding requests with a checklist for optional use by board members. A list of applications is also attached, and there is an addendum with some corrections to the list that was originally in the packet. So Lynn, would you please take it away?
Thank you for the last motion. I appreciate y'all giving us extra time. We will do our best not to take extra time, but it is, right? It's great to have that.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for the consideration and the comments. This is about how you all will approach these applications. It's based on what we've done in the last few years. Really no big changes to the process that you all have used, except for maybe one thing, and I don't know if I even made it very clear, but I think given the very real considerations of infectious diseases and just like the hospital is full, right? You guys are full. People are sick. I don't think we should require agencies to be here in person when we're reviewing their applications. I think just making sure that they come at least online should be enough. I think they've proven to be good communicators in that forum. So that's the one thing I'd like to just turn down a little bit, is that if that's all right with y'all. And I think our staff also do very well participating online when needed. So just a lot of people are sick these days, and I just keep thinking that's so unfair to make everyone come here in April. So anyway.
It also makes the meeting more accessible too.
So that was really the only change I made. Obviously, like, I updated the dates because we have, you know, a different set of Wednesdays every year. Some of the dates are study sessions. So for those, it's even nice if board members need to participate virtually. But the really important dates are when we promise to deliver you the products. And then the other important information is how do you want to, if you want to look at applications, what's the best way for you to look at them? Do you want to see everything? Do you want to look online? Do you want paper copies, of what we've printed already? Do you want electronic copies of what we've got? Or do you want everything? Or do you want to wait and just decide later? Do you want to rely heavily on the staff summaries? All of that is fine. The big thing then next is for the board chair to look at the assignments of reviewers if you all like that approach. But otherwise, that's all really that I have to say. We updated the checklist too, and then this was the original in the first version of the packet. I had missed a couple of things; they were pretty consequential. So that addendum, I'll stop sharing. That's also posted online, and you have it. That's accurate, I think. So if we find any more errors, we'll keep updating it. But this will appear in subsequent packets as well. So that's it.
Thank you. Lynn, where are the addenda? Where I did not get one. I got an email, but thank you. I have it on my computer, but I would like to see it in front of me. Yes, yes. Any discussion from board?
One thought that I have, you know, I don't have a lot of time to read, and I'm not a big reader. Elaine, she's our extraordinaire and reads every word, thank God. I really appreciate the staff reports because to me, the biggest things are right there. And if I read those and I have a question, I've never had a problem saying, hey, Lynn, Leon, you know, can you explain this better? So for me, that's been beneficial, and I'd be more than willing to explain to you a little bit more because I know you're like, what is she talking about? So personally, I like the things, but I think some of us, you know, Elaine might be one. She's like, I want the darn application. Exactly. And I have done both before, but then I realize sometimes I have a lot of paper and I don't read all of it. And so I hate to waste resources, to be honest. I'd rather say, hey, and there have been times where I'll be like, hey, Lynn, can you print the whole application of this one? So that's just kind of my personal opinion. And we could do it a member by member basis, and we could just let Lynn know, hey, I want these, or just give me the abridged versions.
This is like way more than y'all need to know, but if you want me to print stuff, if you want us to print stuff, it might be good to wait until the first week of March. Just everything is ready to go. I can send you electronic copies of anything. I can give you access to the online system. But for making paper copies, we have a lot of demands on our time for the for the rest of February. So just to, if it's okay, is that okay? All right.
That seems totally fine. And I mean, we will definitely have time to discuss process, you know, as we get closer to when we do reviews. But I know, you know, last year we did make some changes to the way we did the board reviews, where we had the staff, Leon and Chandra, both alternating, give high-level summaries so that the board discussion could be more concentrated on our questions and less of a pull toward the board summarizing what is in the program summaries. And I think that worked well. And then, you know, having different board members assigned to different applications, but giving everybody the opportunity to ask questions worked well. But of course, if anybody has suggestions on ways to improve the process, I know we went through, like, we talked to each board member last fall 2024 to come up with ideas to change the process for spring 2025. So we could definitely, we're past fall 2025, so we won't be doing the asking each board member. But if anybody does have feedback or things that they want to change about the way the board discussion went, we can definitely talk about it. And you can also let Lynn and I know as well. Any other comments or questions from the board?
This might be overstepping since I'm just the vice chair. I know that we've went back and forth as far as sometimes we can say, hey, these are some agencies that I'm really passionate about or whatever. And maybe if it's acceptable to Molly, maybe we could say, hey, these are agencies I want to dig in deeper with, whether it is we have a, I don't want to say a personal interest, because I'm not saying we're advocating for some agencies more than others. But there are some agencies that I know of better. And so I'm going to maybe have more deeper questions than just being like, well, I don't even know what they do. So so that would be, I guess, one of my things. If Molly and Lynn were okay, maybe if we were to give some suggestion, these are the types of agencies that I do feel more, you know, maybe even educated to talk about or things like that.
In terms of being like you would maybe be like, hey, Lynn and Molly, these are some agencies I would feel comfortable with, like, taking the lead on the review in the meeting.
Yes,
I see what you mean. Yeah. I think, like, that last year when we made this slight adjustment, part of it was to pair together board members, like those who had been on the board longer and those who had been on the board less long, to work together on various applications. And we tried to consider what kinds of agencies board members would want to talk about. But I think, you know, we're definitely open to hearing, like, if there's specific ones that you feel most comfortable with. And I think in prior years, that was the case, too. So I'm definitely okay with that. Any other comments? All right. Well, seeing none, we will move on next to reports. So we will start with staff reports. These are on pages 45 through 50. From information only, staff reports are included in the packet. Any comments or questions from the board about the staff reports? So I would like to ask a question and make a comment. And this is for any staff, but I know one in particular who worked a lot on this. So I believe Kim Bowdry mentioned in her staff report about working on a newsletter for the CCMHB and CCDDB. There may have been others who worked on it as well. And if so, please tell me. But I know that at the time of the staff report, I do not think that the newsletter had gone out. But after the staff report was provided to the packet, the first version of the newsletter did come out. So I was wondering if any staff members would be willing to talk about the newsletter, and we can have an opportunity to just learn about it a little.
Well, Kim Bowdry's online. I don't know if she wants to talk about it. It was really, like, everybody helped with selecting a product, and we were, like, so happy to have consensus around a great product, and then it all fell apart, and Kim saved the day.
I'd be happy to answer any questions. It was a very challenging ordeal to find a product that was able to go from just a newsletter to be a newsletter that was emailed out to the public. So I am currently gathering information for a newsletter for March. If you guys have anything that you would like to be included, please send that to me so that I can get that put into the March newsletter. I don't really have anything else to say about it unless anyone has specific questions.
Thank you. It looks awesome. I know that, at least from my perspective, I've been talking with Lynn for a long time about how are there ways that we can do more dissemination of what the boards do for the community, because I've heard from community members who are like, I don't know, how do I find out information about the boards? And, you know, like, people want to know more. But I know trying to figure out a way to disseminate information that also meets all of the requirements for, like, record keeping and Open Meetings Act and all of that stuff is very challenging, not to mention designing a newsletter, selecting a product, all of those different things. But I did not know that it was ready to come out. And when I got the email the other day, I probably squealed on my couch, because I was just like, this is so cool. It looks beautiful, and it's a great way for the community to be more informed about all of the things that are happening in the mental health, substance use, and developmental disabilities here. So bravo to all who worked on it. And please, other board members, please share any comments or questions you have.
Well, my apologies, Kim. I think as I was reading it, I immediately texted Lynn and was like, oh my gosh, I love this. It's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, that's mainly Kim. And I don't think that I sent you a thank you email, but it was amazing. Thank you so much for all your work and your peers, who I'm sure did a little bit of work.
Any other
comments? You actually did send a thank you email, so you're welcome.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, Lynn.
So there won't be staff reports, at least not from these folks, for the next couple months because they need to really focus on the review of applications. There are, you know, we'll be doing all our committee meetings and stuff, but not summarizing them. You will get a staff report from me that will be one of the more tiresome documents you'll ever see. 40 pages of conference notes or something like that. And then once Chris and I figure out an accessible format for his year-to-date statements of account for each of the funds, that'll come back too. That could happen in March or April, but we'll take a break from these staff reports. So I'm glad you enjoyed them. I thought they were lovely. They are all ADA compliant, by the way.
Whoops, I guess I had that mic on. Wonderful to hear. I did have a question about the newsletter. How would people go about signing up for it if they want to receive the emails?
They could email me.
They can email Kim.
All right, Lynn. Okay. They can email me, or there's also a link that I can send you to share out with people that they can click on and put in their information to subscribe.
Is that something that could be added to the website too, the board website? Like if you want to get our newsletter, click here.
We could just know that there's a lot on the website already. And one of the things about accessibility is to keep it simple, but we can certainly, which website are you talking about?
I guess any of the board websites.
Okay. We can
just, it's a thought.
No, it's fine. We could do, maybe we'll do all of them. That's so Kim, that'll be a fun project for you and me in the next couple of days. We can do it. Okay.
Well, and I had even jotted down the Expo webpage and the social media pages of Expo, but I know that we're kind of a little bit in limbo with that. So it's not like I expected. Oh, are you our
queen now? No, all that stuff is going to continue. We just don't know what it's going to say, but we need to make sure it's all ADA compliant. But there's nothing wrong with us adding this message to each one of those. It just might take a little bit to get it all done.
Any other comments on the staff reports? All right, seeing none, we can next move to the evaluation capacity building project update. We will have an oral update provided. And of course, as always, links to the resources developed by the team is included in the packet as well. So take it away.
Well, good evening, everyone. Happy hump day. It's almost over. Woohoo! I'm going to keep this short. Want to thank Kim for giving a shout out for all the evaluation stuff in the newsletter. We do newsletters every month. I know how much they take to do. But our hope is that giving out the information, especially about our office hours, is going to have agencies and programs lining up to just get some quick evaluation assistance through our office hours. So they're on demand and people can sign up at any time. We are providing technical assistance, so in-depth technical assistance to three different programs. That is going really well, working on different needs that they have in terms of survey development, as well as thinking about logic models and other components of evaluation. So whatever it is that they need, we're providing that to them. We are also working on the microlearning that I had talked about last time, which is helping agencies and programs learn how to create their own surveys into Microsoft Forms or Google Forms. And we have a one-pager that's going along with that, and it will be ADA compliant, so that agencies and programs can utilize both the video as well as the written text and follow along with it. We've been working with our working group, and so we thought we would do an in-person training on how to actually implement the Microsoft Forms or Google Forms for creating a survey. And then we decided, based on the needs of our working group members, is that they also need help with creating an evaluation plan. And so that will help to create institutional knowledge within different agencies and programs as to what they're evaluating, how they're going to evaluate it, and so forth, and actually write it down as a plan so that it's not just one person in a program knowing what they're doing, and then if they were to be promoted or move somewhere else, that information is lost. So we're actually going to put the two together into an in-person training that's going to be a little bit longer, but putting the survey component of data collection into the evaluation plan so that they can learn how to create the plan as well as learn how to use these other resources for collecting the data that they need to for their programs. And we also are working on a report, which will come to the board April 30th as per the due date, and then we'll present that probably in May. So I know it's riveting and exciting for that. You're like, May and February already? It's going to be here like tomorrow, but it's okay. So those are our updates. I welcome any questions, comments, concerns. I also didn't introduce myself. I'm Jacinda Dariotis, in case you didn't know that.
Thank you so much, and agree, May will be here before we know it, and the weather today definitely previewed that. Any questions or comments from the board on this? All right. Well, thank you very much for the update. We really appreciate all of your work.
Well, thank you. Have a great night. Thanks.
And we will next move on to the Community Behavioral Health Needs Assessment Activities. An oral update will be provided by Lynn Canfield.
I think I shared that there are work groups. Maybe I shared that a few weeks ago. Work groups, if you're interested, there's a meeting of the steering committee, and I'm going to have to miss it this coming Monday. So hopefully I'll get some information after the meeting, and then I can put that in the next board packet. So
great to hear. Any questions or comments from the board? All right, seeing none, we will next move to Disability Resource Expo and AIR updates. Oral update will be provided potentially by Lynn and or others, and our links to these programs is also included in the packet.
We did have one meeting of the special committee to talk about what the expo should be next. Just one meeting, but I got a lot of input after the meeting, too. So I've sent a summary, and with Dr. Dariotis provided notes from that meeting, too. Sent that out to all of the people in that core group. We are really having a hard time coming up with a date that everyone can make to talk again. We also don't want to burden these people with too many committee meetings. So we're trying to define some specific activities other than having a Zoom meeting and talking about the same things again. But I felt like some really great ideas came out of that first meeting, so I have some hope for it. I don't have a lot of hope for a huge in-person event within 2026, thinking if we're going to do it again, it won't be this year. So that's what we do know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was a good first meeting. And I think we all know we have to make changes, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what changes. And so, I know that some feedback was sent to you, so I'm kind of eager to see how that all comes together and stuff.
Okay. So the next meeting of that group will probably be March 23rd. We could be missing two people if we choose that day. Anyway, so that's in progress. I was encouraged by the input that we got during and after that meeting. For AIR, for the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect, participating in this surprise last Ebert Fest, they have selected a film for us. A couple of us have looked at it. It's quite nice. It's a little bit gentle, shall I say. It's about a music therapist and kind of deals with issues of burnout and grief and substance use, like all the good stuff that we talk about and should talk about. It's the prime actor, the main actor, director, and writer is one person, and they're going to bring her here. So we're looking for someone good. Ms. Somerville has an idea for a good panelist to put with her to respond about music therapy. So that's really nice. It's called Charlie Bird. You're the first people I'm saying that to, but I have sent out an email to the large group of AIR members and heard back only from about six people about what they want to do with some enthusiasm. So I'm thinking maybe I'll just reach back to those people only about, like, let's have a meeting and figure out exactly what we want to do and just do it. But I usually don't have to do a lot because the festival does most of the work. We just have to find some sandwiches for the artists and make some pretty ads to promote their work. So anyway.
Very good news to hear. Any questions or comments from the board? All right, seeing none, we can next move to PY 2025 utilization and outcome results. These are on pages 51 through 74 of the packet. For information, a summary of PY 25 utilization and outcome results is included. So Lynn and or whoever you designate, please share more about these.
I know you all must be tired, and I'm so sorry to save the most wonderful part for last. This is huge. Both Leon Bryson and Kim Bowdry finished something this year that, well, Kim did it the last couple years too, but like this year they just really got it and included the very high level summary of outcomes in each of these utilization reports. So now you know not just whether the agencies met their targets for numbers of people served and numbers of contacts, but also whether they met their targets for the what the outcome was for the people they served. And I just love this. I'm so appreciative, Leon. It was a lot of work. And then there's the next thing is also Leon. So is that okay if I just skip? Okay.
Understatement. Yes, a lot of work went into it. What you're looking at currently is just a set of aggregate reports for the program year 2025 of the outstanding work that was done by all of our agencies. And so this is where your money's at. And I'm impressed by the outcomes. And again, just compiling all of this took, you know, some time. Hopefully you'll take the time to comb through it when you get a chance, and just appreciate the quality of work and the services that are being provided to our community. And so this is just the utilization, not just, but this is the actual utilization results and consumer outcomes. Yeah, I'll pause right there. I don't know if you need to go to the next one or not.
Any questions or comments from board members on this?
Just a comment. I it's too much to read all at once, you know, but I just kind of looked at some of them, and it was interesting. I was thinking the difference in some of them that, you know, there was a big difference in target and what was actually done, and you could see trends a little bit, I think, toward what's going to need more services maybe. And I think that's very useful for us when agencies end up serving a lot more than they thought they would, and then you think about, well, how's that going to affect funding and so on. So it seems like it's very useful for planning, for sure. So thank you.
If I may make a comment, I think so as well, especially when I'm doing site visits. I get a chance to talk with the agencies about where they are with their current targets versus their annuals. And so this gives a great picture of, you know, how close or how far they're off. Just a good conversation. Agencies are very receptive to discussing that, so it's a nice report. Again, it's I would say ADA compliant.
It is.
Yeah. Yes. That took some time to just getting the format and the alt text and all that together, but we did it. And this is just the outstanding work that, you know, our agencies are doing for the second quarter.
No, that's the other one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped.
That's your other triumph.
Well, yeah, I'm blending the two, but they're, you know, one is for the year and the other one is for the second quarter of PY26. And so I'm just trying to speed up the meeting, apparently.
But you've...
I'm sorry.
I'm going to just jump in because the source documents that you got, the outcome, this is year-end PY25, the source documents that he used include some really interesting narrative, like optional comments from agencies, especially if they were dealing with a surprise result. So if you really want a deep dive into what they found, it's all there, and we've looked at it, and I think, you know, there's all kinds of things to read, but I like that stuff the most because that's what you're paying for. Anyway, but yes, Leon has a whole second triumph over ADA compliance barriers.
Again, you just get a good picture, a good image of what's going on within the agency in terms of their services that they're providing. Again, I'm very, you know, impressed by what's happening. They're getting their reports in on time, which makes my job a lot easier. And keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. So I guess we're sort of taking these two items together, the utilization outcome results, which are pages 51 to 74, and then also the second quarter program activity reports on pages 75 through 128. Do any board members have any comments or questions about either of those? I do have a comment on the first item. Unfortunately, I did not get to read the quarterly reports beforehand, but I stayed up late reading the utilization and outcome summaries or results. And I really, especially in appreciated the outcome, like having the outcome target and the result right under it. And I was very, one, I think just the way that you laid all of this out was really, really effective. And I know it was a tremendous amount of work. So I thank you for doing that. I think it was really striking to me how in so many instances, the outcome results exceeded the targets. And like, I just constantly was seeing like, we expected 90% and they got 100%, or things were like, it was like wildly higher than it was expected. And I think, you know, that speaks to the great work that the agencies are doing. I also saw a lot of variation in the, it was a, seeing all of it in one place, I think was really helpful because it did help me see like, okay, you know, there are some agencies that programs that really, really shine in the way that they develop their outcome targets and the way they report on the results, and some where I think, you know, there could be growth areas in terms of like how specific the outcomes are. And what could be changed there, how numeric they're able to be reported as. So it was seeing all of it together helped me do kind of a comparison and just be very impressed with everything that the community is doing. Any other comments or questions from the board? All right, seeing none, we will move to the second portion of public participation and agency input. So as always, members of the public can speak with the board and make comment. We cannot respond directly, but we may use it to inform future decisions, as we did this evening. I said all the rules earlier, but if you want to come forward to make a comment, or if you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand or put something in the chat. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. Is there anyone who'd like to make comments? Yes, please.
There was a comment.
Oh.
Carrie, did you want to go ahead and say yours?
It was when you guys were discussing the Courage Connections, and I don't know if they're still here, but it might be interesting to find out what services might be impacted without the funding was the first question that I had. And then the other question or comment that I wanted to make to the board, I believe this is the only DB shelter in Champaign County. And the women that have the courage to flee that environment need mental health support, and they need the service in Champaign County. So please keep that in mind as you're making your decision to fund this organization. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for your comment. I know we have somebody in person who wanted to come forward and make a comment. And I would say after that, if the agency does want to respond to the comment made before, they can do so. But
hi, everyone. Jessie Heckenmuller. I'm Assistant Director of Community Services at Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. Thank you all for the funding that you support us with in a couple of different areas. Today, I just wanted to introduce you to our new colleague. This is Elisa Ransom. She is the Youth Assessment Center Program Manager. You all fund the Youth Assessment Center. We have been looking for the right candidate for some time and are thrilled that Elisa has joined us. And so I just wanted to give a chance for her to introduce herself and that you all knew kind of who you're seeing sometimes in these meetings and speaking to as you continue to fund our services. Elisa, do you want to share a little bit about yourself?
As Jesse said, that I'm Elisa Ransom. I've worked on the child welfare side of things, and I'm eager to be a part of these different platforms and working with you guys.
Elisa is being very humble. She has not only worked on the child welfare side of things, but on multiple different levels. She has a master's degree and over 20 years of experience. So we're just really, really excited to have her on the team. So that's all we wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to make a public comment now? Yes, please come forward.
So I'll sit down, but I'll keep this very brief. Carrie, I'll begin by addressing your question. So the vast majority of the funding that we get from CCMHB, it goes to fund our counseling services, which it also includes our two licensed clinical social workers that lead that service. And to keep it brief, I just want to thank you all for your consideration tonight to open an additional application period for Courage Connection. Equally as important, thank you for holding us accountable. Thank you for clearly articulating the burden that is going to go on to CCMHB staff and on the board because of our mistake. I promise to you, we are going to learn from this and we're going to continue to grow and do better. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment. Is there anyone else who would like to make public comment now?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Harmon. I'm actually speaking in a different capacity. So I currently work with Regional Planning Commission and am the Continuum of Care Coordinator. So I work with a lot of community partners to address homelessness here in Champaign County. And I just wanted the board to be aware that we're currently undergoing a pretty intensive strategic planning process to really look at our community's needs, gaps in services, and planning long-term for the next 3 to 5 years. So we are consulting with an organization, a nonprofit organization called Homebase, who specifically works nationwide with many communities across the country. And also they previously worked with Springfield and a lot of their homeless services prevention funding. So we're thrilled to be working with them. So we're going to be planning a kickoff event that's going to be taking place on March 9th from 4:30 to 6:30 at the iHotel, which will be open to anybody. So communications about that will be going out soon. And then we're putting together a steering committee of key community stakeholders, agency representatives, local leaders, folks from our local municipalities to participate on the steering committee to kind of guide the work. And then we're also going to be facilitating some focus groups. And one of the focus groups identified that would be really helpful to host was specifically on behavioral health and homelessness. So that will be coming up as well. And then in addition to a focus group for people with lived experience of homelessness, a focus group focused on local funding and what's needed there, and then as well as a focus group on our overall homeless services system that we have in Champaign County. So all of that work is continuing to be happening, underway, a lot happening in March. So just wanted to share that with the board as you currently support the homeless services system coordination program at Regional Planning Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment. We've had hopping public comment tonight. I love it. Anyone else in person or online who would like to make comment? All right, it appears none, so we will move on to board-to-board reports. As always, board members can serve as liaisons to community or agency boards, and if you'd like to get involved with that, the list of kind of some of the options are on page 129, and you can talk to Stephanie Howard Gallo if you'd like to be involved. Are there any board members who want to share a board-to-board report? All right, seeing none, we will next move to county board input.
This is my last meeting. You will have the thrill of working with county board member Denise Ares, and she'll be joining, will be appointing, I'll be resigning, she'll be appointed next or tomorrow. So no gaps in representation, happy about that. I know that you will love Den, so don't be a stranger if you need anything.
Yeah. Thank you for your service on our board.
I will take chair's discretion to allow any board members to share any comments they want to make, knowing that we are losing a board member and we are gaining a board member. Is there anyone who wants to comment? I will also comment, Emily, I have appreciated so much of your what you have brought to the board. I've learned a lot, including brushing up on a little more Robert's Rules things from you, and your attentiveness and good questions have been very much welcomed. And I'm sorry I had not responded to your email yet, but I will miss you. But we're also really excited to have Den on board. Any other comments? All right, seeing none, we will move to Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input.
None.
They did not meet today. Our meetings are off from each other for once. All right, next we will move to board announcements and input. I will start by saying we do have another board change. So as of yesterday, Chris Miner has resigned from the board. I believe citing a new job and increased responsibilities, but I understand he, said some very kind words. I just want to thank him for his service as well, and hoping that we will get a new member appointed into his vacancy soon. And so if anybody would like to make any comment about that, please feel free. And of course, if there's any other board announcements or input too.
A small comment. So right before the meeting, I was scrolling Facebook. That's what I should give up for Lent. But I noticed that the Illini newspaper, Illini Media,
Daily Illini.
Daily Illini had reported that the U of I had experienced a suicide death in one of their dorms today. And again, one is too many, and that's why we're here tonight. And so my thoughts, encouragement goes out to all that, are affected by that, and especially the person who felt that was their only alternative.
Thank you for sharing that. And that is very, very sad to hear, for sure. Any other board announcements or input? All right, seeing none. With that, we can adjourn. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, March 18th at 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center. I hope you all have a good night. We are adjourned.
Next meeting.
question is 25?
Yeah. Oh, right. There is a lot of leadership transitions really in the last days. And they're just, you know, I'm passionate about this.
Hey, thank you all.
I'm excited. I really am.
Sorry that every meeting has a very well, your option is to have zero deadline. If you don't have any deadlines,
so I just notified,
there's no It's like the
job probably should be posted.
I mean, that's to me, it's not a bad rule.
You know, it's like I'm nervous. Like,
it's painful that I hate.
I'm excited for it, you know.
Recording stopped.
I mean, I think it's worth having a discussion.
Insurance.